Welcome to the Membership Machine Show, talking you through your membership website from initial idea all the way to finished product. Here's your host, Jonathan Denwood.
Welcome back to the Membership Machine Show. This is episode 152. This is our episode for the beginning of 2026, the 1st of January. I've got my great co-host, Kirk, with me. So, Kirk, can you introduce yourself to the new listeners and viewers?
Sure can, Jonathan. My name is Kurt von Annen. I own an agency called Manana No Mas, and I work directly with the WP Tonic team.
Yep. In this episode, folks, you're going to get our predictions for e-learning for 2026. I call it the year for digital transformations. That's what I'm going to call the whole thing, digital transformations. I think it's going to be an interesting year, to say the least, for e-learning. So we've got some great predictions, but before we go into the meat and potatoes of this great show, I've got a message from one of our major sponsors. We'll be back in a few moments, folks.
Hey, running a business is tough. You shouldn't have to worry about your website, too. With Kinsta's managed hosting for WordPress, you get lightning-fast load times, enterprise-grade security, and 24/7 expert support from real humans. Switch to Kinsta and see site speeds improve by up to 200% with effortless migrations and powerful, easy-to-use dashboard. Join over 120,000 other businesses who also trust Kinsta. Get your first month for free at Kinsta.com. That's KINSTA.com. Kinsta, simply better hosting.
Coming back, folks, I also want to take the opportunity to say that we've got a great course done by Kirk himself that shows you how to build a membership or community website on WordPress from beginning to end. It will make the whole process really easy so you can get all the benefits of flexibility and ownership from WordPress building your membership website. Normally, this course is around $50, but you get a 50% discount. Where can you get this course? You go over to wp-tonic.com/deals, wp-tonic.com/deals. Plus, we got some special offers from the sponsors of the show. What more could you ask for? I don't think it's a fantastic course, by the way. So let's go straight into it. AI-powered personalized learning. I see this, it might not happen in 2026. It definitely hasn't happened in 2025. I think some of the things that we've seen, the promise around e-learning, there's been a few YouTube channels really pushing that courses are dead and various statements that I just find absolute rubbish. Total madness, but they've built their channels to a higher level than I've built my YouTube channel. But we really haven't seen AI really affecting e-learning. I think it's more about some of the topics that you want to discuss that have affected e-learning to some degree in 2025. But we really haven't seen how AI can really affect the core of e-learning, either through membership or through larger organizations' requirements. I think maybe during 26, we can see something more concrete where through AI agents, we can customize the learning journey of each student. We know through research that people learn in different ways. If they've got average IQ intelligent levels, you can still get a big difference on how people learn, basically. And one of the problems, you know, but even if you've got a teacher in front of you, the teacher might be indifferent, might be stressed out, have too big a class. So the beauty of having a one-to-one instructor in front of you is that they should, through their training, be able to customize the learning experience to students' individual requirements, but the reality that doesn't happen that much. And it definitely doesn't happen online. That's what I see as the magic, but, you know, using AI agents to really customize the learning journey. Is this making sense? And what's your thoughts on this, Kurt?
Well, a lot of it's making sense, Jonathan, but I think I have some disagreement, and that is the LMS cast that Lifter LMS makes. They featured a person a week or 10 days ago named Marcus Carter. Well, Marcus Carter is not a developer. He'll tell you straight to your face, he's not a developer. But he has been able to leverage AI in a Lifter LMS workspace where he teaches native Spanish speakers English. And he uses voice tools from 11 Labs and AI to analyze what people are saying and then gives them grades or results back. And his leverage of AI and the way that he's doing it, to me, seems it's baffling, right? Because I'm one of these people. Every time I hear someone say, well, I've got these Google Sheets over here and these Google Docs here and this API and that API and this connects to this and this automates that and this, I go, oh my God, what a nightmare did you create? Just make the stupid course. And so I am very much an asynchronous e-learning course professional. That's where my heart is at. That's what I like to do. I like to make them as you know, integrative as possible, as interactive as possible, but with a sense of like reality and maintenance and future and security, right? What this Marcus Carter guy done is against all of that in my mindset. But what he's done is pretty amazing to see the example of it. And I think if a lot of people start to leverage AI in that way, people are going to start to get a much more custom experience.
Oh, we've got a nice comment here from Sarah. Thank you so much. Have a happy new year, Sarah.
Sarah.
You can join us. Sarah. You can always join us live. We like your feedback, folks. So, yeah, you recommended that I watch this episode. I haven't yet, but I will do. Definitely will do in the next couple of days. But this is the total contradiction of where we are in 2025, is that when you watch somebody that's really doing something creative in it, it's quite impressive and you can clearly see the future. But there is a lot of drift out there as well, isn't there? But I don't discredit the power of AI, because it's helped me in my certain specific things that I do. Now, as you know, Kirk, as the owner of WP Tonic, my is to get leads, to get customers, to grow the business.
Yeah,
I think you would. Hopefully, you would agree. I'm very focused on that, aren't I? But this prospect of using AI, I think what you're saying is it's already there. You know, the technology, you know, and it's only going to get better.
There, but sure isn't easy.
No.
And that's the dichotomy of AI. You've got all these people on the outskirts of IT thinking, well, I'm not a developer at all, but all I got to do is talk to my computer and make magic happen. And unfortunately, this guy like Marcus gets on the podcast and basically says that. But he also says, this took me hours and hours and days of forward and back and trial and error. And he did say something in his podcast that really resonated with something I truly believe. And that is, done is better than perfect. So he's very open to the idea, like, hey, I might throw something on the website and maybe it doesn't work. They'll tell me if it doesn't work and we'll fix it. You know, he's not one of these perfectionists. And I think that's enabled him to grow at a quicker pace with this AI stair-stepping thing he's done. Not for leaving people out. Chris Lassiter from the Lifter LMS world, he is also an AI expert with certifications in the field. But to his credit, he's built a front-end course builder so that teachers can leverage AI to build online courses for their kids.
Yeah.
So it's there, but it's not.
Yeah, but obviously we're a boutique hosting provider, but we're also an agency. And I want to move there. You know, we have two levels. We have the creator, the small entrepreneur, and then we have our organization clients. Our organization clients are AI and what I call producing that digital transformation. Yeah. In the next 2 years is going to be the fundamental thing for our larger clients, our more corporate kind of type clients, is getting this using AI so you can get this digital transformation. And it's really where I want the agency part of WP Tonic to be laser focused on AI and using AI in practical ways to get this digital transformation. So shall we do your one on your list? There will be an upsurge in course creation after you don't need a course bubble pops. Tell us more.
Yeah, I'm absolutely. I'm at wit's end with the marketing coming out. You know, you don't need a course. You don't need webinars. Webinars are dead. You don't need, you need a mobile app. Make $50,000 a week or you don't have a business. You know, like these ads to me are ridiculous. You have to have a mechanism, some mechanism to establish yourself as an authority in your space. For me, it was publishing a book. Like once I actually published a book in my field, no one ever asked me again, hey, where did you go to school? They just said, oh, he published a book. He knows what he's doing, right? Courses are a lot like that. You put out a course, you establish yourself as an expert or as an authority in the space, and then you use that course to leverage other things, whether it's public speaking or training or coaching or whatever it is. And I think that there's this giant bubble out there right now, and I'm going to include the Russell Brunson tribes and the Tony Robbins tribes. And, Russell Brunson's doing a thing now that's saying,
well, you know what, this is only my opinion. Yeah. The two people that you've mentioned, highly successful, fantastic marketers, but in my opinion, total drifters.
But well, yeah, not selling quality concepts to people. He's got a thing now telling people how to sell to people without having authority in the space. It's like, that doesn't make any sense, Russell. You need something. The average person, not famous people don't need this because they have their fame, but the average person needs to establish themselves as an authority in some way. And I think that this is going to cause, I think people are going to drift off. They're going
to
try this.
Well, I'm sorry to interrupt, but you're basing that on your firm personal experience, because I think you've said this publicly quite a few times that yeah. Writing a book, because you're big into the marine industry. That's the other side of your commercial life. And writing a book about training really changed your own life, didn't it? Considerably.
The whole trajectory of my family's lives have changed because of publishing those books.
Because it gave you credibility.
Exactly. I can remember... you remember when the economy was absolutely in the toilet in 2007?
Yeah, I do. It was the first full year I was in America. It all went bear-shaped.
We literally lived in Albuquerque, and I said, I got to go back to work. I got to go get like a job. And I walked into a car dealership with a copy of the book I had written, and I laid it on the general manager's desk without an appointment. And I said, I wrote this book and I can turn around your service department and show you how to make money in this economy without ripping people off. And I started that Monday with a really good salary, and it had nothing to do with, Kurt's awesome or Kurt looked great in a button down shirt. That wasn't the case because I know none of that's true. What was true was...
Well, you're a handsome beast, actually.
I took the time to publish the book, which led to authority, which led to the owner of that dealership going, just put him in there, man. Just, anything's got to be better than what we got right now in this economy. Put him in there and let's see what happens. And then, of course, you make it happen and you build a track record through experience off of that authority. That's what the whole course building experience is about. A lot of people think course building is that set it and forget it, that passive income thing. They're going to build it once and they'll never work again and live on a beach. And that to me is not the case. Proper course, you know, trajectory is your course is your authority piece, and then it leads to your upsells and your expansion from there.
I think also the other factor is I was watching a couple YouTube, got quite large YouTube channels, and they specialize in IT and front-end coding and around React and some of the other front-end Java, because I try and keep my hand in, because I trained as a JavaScript developer. I started with ActionScript with Flash, and I got totally burnt out, really. I don't want to go down that road. That's for another episode. But I like to keep my hand in, and, you know, a little bit. And they were saying they built their channels. These are YouTube channels that got like 250,000 subscribers. And they used to do very long coaching, actual courses, mini courses, you know, like 3-4 hour long with a project and from beginning to end. And they said that the popularity has died and they no longer do that type of content.
Yeah.
And they were saying that there was a couple of factors that they felt affected that type of content. One was the COVID years, that there was a lot of people at home through COVID-19. It seems, when I say that, it seems like a decade ago, doesn't it? But it was only like a couple of years ago, wasn't it? Or 3 years ago. But it just seems like we're talking about something a long time ago. But people were at home, they had a lot of time on their hands, right? The other thing they were talking was the growth of TikTok, of other similar platforms, where the younger generation or people in general don't want to watch long-form content.
Yeah.
I'm not too sure about that, because you could say like podcasting, like Rogan, three-hour podcasts, general discussion or particular topics. I like long-form podcasting, long-form YouTube. So I'm not too sure about that second argument. I think there's elements to it. It's like a lot of things. It's not black and white. You can have something that's partly true and there's another part. I think it's more complicated. That'd be interesting. What's your thoughts about this?
Well, I've been on the micro-learning trail for a long time in the e-learning space. And that's one of the obstacles when you deal with enterprise e-learning is, you know, you'll have a client that may have spent $2-5 million on SCORM content that's long format. And you'll have a conversation. You'll say, hey, we've got to take this content and we've got to drill it down. So this 45-minute lesson really needs to be a separate section within the course, and it needs to be 9 5-minute segments, you know, but they've already paid, you know, a tremendous budget to make that long form content. And then you're asking them basically to double down and make it micro learning. And it's shown over and over and over again that micro learning drives people to completion. There's a lot of science behind it with the dopamine hits and, you know, chemically what happens in a learner's brain when they continually like get something done, they get excited and they actually keep going. Whereas if you have them drone on for 45 minutes, there's no dopamine and they just get bored and turn it off. So I'm really big on the e-learning path with the micro learning. It's just, you have to be strategic about it. And you mentioned TikTok. Part of the problem with education now is there are people that really do want to learn, Jonathan. Like, there are people that really, like, they're not doing it for entertainment. They're doing it because they want to learn. And there's a lot of e-learning professionals now that are trying to emulate not micro learning, but like micro learning, like they're trying to do everything in a really fast, you know, tick-tocky fun kind of way. And it doesn't provide the learning. So if you can't produce the desired result, you're not going to succeed either. So you've got to find that balance, you know, dare I say 6-7 of it all.
Yeah, I think you put that fantastically. I think it's time for us to have our middle break, folks. We'll be back. We've got some fantastic topics to discuss in the second half. I think we've covered a lot of interesting stuff in this first half of this show. We'll be back in a few moments, folks.
This podcast episode is brought to you by Lifter LMS, the leading learning management system solution for WordPress. If you or your client are creating any kind of online course, training-based membership website, or any type of e-learning project, Lifter LMS is the most secure, stable, well-supported solution on the market. Go to lifterlms.com and save 20% at checkout with coupon code podcast20. That's podcast20. Enjoy the rest of your show.
We're coming back, folks. I want to take the opportunity that we've got a fantastic newsletter, totally free. I cover one of the topics that we discuss in the podcast in a bit more detail. Plus, there's a curated list of other stories that I come across, which I put in the newsletter, that's around AI or membership topics. You can get this newsletter by going over to wp-tonic.com/newsletter. wp-tonic.com/newsletter. Sign up, written by myself and created by myself, and you'll get it in your inbox every week. So please to sign up for that. It really does support the show. So I think my next one and your one, number two on our list of predictions, mine was the semi-decline of asynchronous e-learning and the growth of social and cohort learning. And your one, community tools will become the more expected as normal within learning science. I think they're all kind of mixed up in one topic. First of all, would you agree with that?
Well, I do. I do. There's, and it's not because the course creators are pushing, certain tools or certain agendas. It's just the flow and the evolution of the learning space. Again, that whole droning on, solo learning all by yourself in the desert kind of thing, that whole working remote. We've all begun to master working remote. Like you and I are remote right now, right? We're neighbors, but we're on this call together. People have gotten used to that. And now they want that kind of contact even through the learning experience. And it's just been the natural evolution of it. The challenge is, you know, and we've talked about this on other shows, Jonathan, the challenge is what tools are you going to integrate together to give a seamless, clean user experience to the student? Because, you know, like one of Lifter LMS's values is, you know, student experience first, right? So what is the learner experience? And that's the hardest part for a lot of these course creators, especially with SaaS platforms, to really grasp, because they might use Podia and then try and say, oh, well, I'm going to have a circle for this. Well, now you've got two platforms you're trying to smush together to get an end result from. That's not going to be a smooth experience for the learner.
No, I think it's also be affected because in another show we do, you were discussing one of the topics, one of your predictions for 2026, the WP Tonic. We did a very similar show about our predictions for 2026 in WordPress. And I think one of the points you made was the need a reaction against AI or this term AI slop. I don't actually like that term, actually, but I did understand a reaction to wanting the need for real people. I see, funny enough, I see it in myself when I'm using YouTube. If I sense in any way that it's a generated person using AI technology, or I tend to ditch, I want a real person really communicating me through YouTube. More creative content, I'm fine that it's using AI. where it's like a mini film or a mini concept, you know, storyline. I just see that as extension of creativity, but I don't like it when it's trying to mimic a real person. There's something about it that I really don't like. And I think this is what all this is about. And I also think, there's nothing wrong with asynchronous learning. What that means basically, folks, is you can dive in at any time you want into a course and you can learn at your own pace. The problem was that it's been linked to this whole drifter class, as I call them, that say that you can run your membership business like 20 hours a month and have seven figures and you run it on the beach in some tropical island somewhere. And there's some of those people that have been pushing that we've already named, and in my opinion, they're semi-drifters. But they're very successful drifters. Part of me thinks, you know, why do you keep going, Jonathan? You should join them, really. That's what the market wants. But I just haven't got it in my heart to actually do it. You know, I would feel dirty. But there's nothing wrong with asynchronous learning. It's just been linked to this drifter class. But I think because of AI, there's going to be, there's a reason, you know, why people want, in some ways, still want to go to university. It's not, a lot of the times, it's not the actual quality of the teaching. It's cohort. It's the student, you know, having your own tribe, making people that might be your friends for the rest of your life. Now, I have one or two people that I've known for 25, 30 years that I went to university as a mature student in the UK. But funny enough, I was one of the younger mature students. I was in my early 30s. But I've got a couple of people that are friends that were my lecturers. I'm still in contact with them. I think that's why, you know, and having a small group, it motivates you, because the biggest problem with remote learning, e-learning, is the dropout rate. It's the thing not mentioned, is it? It's the dropout rate. It's very large, isn't it? And you could say it's not your problem, but it is your problem, because you can't grow your membership business if people are not getting a result and they're dropping out a lot from finishing your course and getting the result, isn't it?
Yeah. It's right. A bad one.
That's what I like to hear. You agree with me? doesn't do it very often. No, he's fine. On to the next one. We will see the end of the beginning of the end of SCORM. And I think that's also linked to number four. I put the growth for CMS, CMI5 and XRPI, but it could also be the death knell for these as well. And the reason why I'm saying this, Kurt, is I'm not saying it's going to go away in 2026, but I've been staggered about how SCORM has lived on. And the reason why is it's linked to our other podcast again, is like I put this concept that AI, and I use this term that I made up, that flat data, I call it flat data, and the idea in AI of primitives, is that AI is going to really change e-learning dramatically. And it really doesn't like school, and it probably doesn't really like some of these other standards. They're more nothing's more enclosed than SCORM, is it? So I really see the beginning of the end for SCORM, really, in 2026. What do you reckon, Kurt?
This is one that you and I are on complete opposite ends of the spectrum on.
Right.
And this comes from my corporate life experience. So it's going to be hard for some people to hear, and some people might like to hear it. Corporately, the people that make the decisions on where the budget goes and how it gets spent for e-learning typically have no idea what the heck is going on.
Right?
They're so totally disconnected. And they're not risk takers. They're not entrepreneurs, right? So an entrepreneur puts up, you know, a step stool on his own little project and gets launched, you know, and a career CEO, you know, puts up his, you know, long extension ladder on a tall building and starts to climb that ladder. And what happens is the higher up that ladder they get, the less, the more risk adverse they are. And so they don't make new decisions. They don't, they're horribly slow at adopting new technologies and new processes and new ways, even if it means saving a ton of money and getting a better learner experience. This is actually the struggle with Mañana No Más, because this is one of our specialty products. We specialize in taking very, you know, high dollar SCORM purposed websites and converting them to a more learner centered environment at about 20% the expense that the corporations used to pay. The problem is, Jonathan, is that a lot of these corporations, even with an 80% savings on hosting, maintenance, and getting a better learner experience, they believe it's too good to be true, or they just don't want to endure the change, or they don't want to take the risk that it might be a bad decision, right? Not that it is a bad decision. They just don't want to take the risk. If you go to SCORM.com and you actually look at the development of SCORM, I think the last version of SCORM came out in 2004. Mm. So it's not new. It should have been like Flash. Like you said, you came up doing Flash development, right?
Action scripting, that's the way I'm going to.
And when they said, hey, the browser's not going to support Flash anymore, Flash was gone, Adobe turned it off, and there was no Flash. In my mind, it should be that way with SCORM. They should just turn it off and go, there's other ways to do this, right? There's other course authoring tools that will give us similar results for a tenth of the cost and a better learner experience. But the reality of it is simple. These corporations have spent literally millions of dollars on e-learning content that they don't want to push the delete button on. And because they've already made that massive investment in e-learning, SCORM capable websites and hosting is going to continue to be a thing.
Oh, yeah. I'm not saying you're wrong. You know, I think it's a case by case, company by industry. I just think the requirements of AI and AI to some extent in the corporate, in the non-entrepreneur e-learning creator, the coach, the person building a profitable, seen as a small business, but could be a very large business for individual or small team. The corporate world, I think AI is such a buzzword. Obviously, some of it's sham. It attracts a lot of drifters. Yeah. But as we discussed in other podcasts that we do, there's definitely something to it. It is, in my opinion, going to fundamentally change things. I really think this indifference, this lack of knowledge, and plus this massive investment, they're all true facts that you've so clearly laid out. But also, a lot of these type of individuals are going to feel under pressure, because they're going to be asked by their chief financial officer, the chief officer, what are we doing around AI? And they're going to have some answers, right? Oh. So, and SCORM is, like I say, so the opposite of what AI wants and requires that I think there might be opportunity to see the beginning of the end of this that should have been put to bed a long time ago.
Well, while SCORM might not provide the flat data that AI is seeking, to your point, I do believe that they're going to develop, you know, AI modules that they'll be able to embed through Articulate 360, Rise, and Captivate, where people will be able to build, you know, these AI integrative elements into the e-learning and still have it wrapped up into that zip package.
All right.
That is SCORM. So if you think about it, like when you take a quiz in SCORM and you're in the, let's say you're in WordPress and you're running SCORM and you're using GrassBlade, that SCORM package is still integrated and running through a third-party like reporting site, right? It's running through GrassBlade LRS, and that's what syncs the reporting in Lifter LMS for you in your student report. So if the SCORM package can interact with that third-party site through an API in that way, we know that it has the ability to integrate with embedded AI modules that would be in there that could go out to third-party SaaS sites and do things.
Well, might be totally possible. Yep. So on to the next one. More growth in the micro-learning space. I think it's happening. I think using AI, you can see AI enabling people to produce interactivity, quizzes, interactive materials at a much cheaper, at a much higher quality level. You see that. It's not quite there, but you see, actually, I've been surprised how slow it's been in a way, but during this show, we've looked at some of the AI products out there that can help you make interactive slides, images, videos, but you can waste an enormous amount of time as well. We have, you and me, because it's part of us keeping ourselves relevant, isn't it? But I see that more tools that actually help you produce real stuff rather than wasting a lot of time, that a lot of these AI tools, you know, of all the stuff I've looked at, I can really name, I'm looking at one now that like Notebook LM actually helps you produce some actual real stuff. And we looked at a couple other products, and I think there was only one or two that both of us were impressed with.
Yeah.
But the bulk of them just a time waste, really, aren't they? But I see these tools maturing in 2026, really helping produce micro learning content. What do you think?
Yeah, the hardest thing about the micro learning content, and this is going to sound mean, but it's quite honestly the course creator's mindset. The tools are there. I just did a lunch and learn presentation for the Chamber of Commerce. I did one in December. I'm doing another one on January 30th, and I already have all of the content is pre-generated for the one on the 30th. I've already got the presentation. I've already made the workbook. To your point, you know, you mentioned tools. Designer was one of the ones that we had talked about. It had a lifetime deal. I signed up for it, and that's how I make the workbooks. I literally take the PowerPoint and I slam it into Designer. I say, "Make me a workbook." Boom, I got a workbook. It's just been that easy. The problem is with the micro learning and the interactivities that we're talking about, a lot of course creators struggle with how to break down their content.
What?
When you're a subject matter expert, you see everything in this giant global perspective. And what you need to do is you need to have that learner's mindset that says, how do I break this into bite-sized pieces?
Because I think you've made a fantastic point there is that, because I think a lot of organizations, I've seen this with a lot of e-learning, especially in university, higher education, schools, that it was actually seen as a cost saver. It was seen as a mechanism to cost save. But actually to produce really good e-learning and micro-learning content takes a lot of knowledge, because you're trying to reduce, unless you're dealing with the most simplistic training element, really reducing something, you know, you get that with copywriting, you know, anybody can produce paragraph after paragraph after paragraph, or most people can, but to actually distill the essence of a marketing, what the company is offering in two lines or in one paragraph, and really trigger a result, an action, that's a skill.
Yeah.
That's what skill copyright, you know, a lot of so-called copywriters can't do that. They're lying, or they're lying to themselves. But that's the same thing with micro-learning or online, taking something and distilling it. And so the person actually, that takes a lot of experience and a lot of work, doesn't it? Would you agree with what I've outlined?
Yeah, to be clear, I mean, I got 20 years in that space of really fine tuning that craft. And that is that's a really difficult thing. So, you know, I used to be the training manager at Ducati North America. And so you have these motorcycles that are incredibly intricate, and you've got this giant machine. You've got to tell a technician how to take apart and put back together, but put it back together so it runs right. And you can't just vomit the whole thing out. You know, you've got to focus on, you know, components and systems and networks of systems. And then at the end, it becomes a whole unit.
Well, and, you know, through science, I'm sorry to interrupt, but isn't it really been proven science? You know, this is all backed by science that if you're trying to explain something new that's reasonably complicated, it does depend on the knowledge of the student base. But yeah. I think these are broad things that affect all scenarios, is that if you cover more than one or two topics and it's more than 10 minutes, you increasingly lose
the
attention and student base, don't you?
Yeah, they're gone. And that's why one of the, if we could just kind of jump a little bit, that kind of covers, we've gotten into one of my predictions, and that is that, you know, tactile organic interactions are going to become more integrated with online platforms. There's going to be an enhanced level of, you know, what we call that integrated or that blended learning example. I've used the term blended learning for a decade now, so that's what's in my head. But it's the idea that I'm going to give you the theory online, but knowing that you're going to have to come to an in-person workshop of some kind. If it's a mechanical thing, you're going to demonstrate that skill mechanically in the room. If it's just sales, right? If it's a soft skill, we're going to do role play with real people in a room. You're going to exercise these skills that were in the training. But the whole idea of, we have the theory online and you're taking the training with the expectation that you're going to deliver and execute that skill in person in a room full of your peers, is that's what elevates that, the result of training. And so I think we're going to see a resurgence in that. That was pretty popular before the pandemic. And then during the pandemic, of course, everybody wanted to do everything 100% online. And I think that dream horribly blew up on people, and they're still recovering from that bad decision.
And I think the last one, it's very linked to our other podcast and one of the discussion points we had in that. And that was round why I put the death of walled garden LMSs. And I do see not only, you know, open source WordPress is well positioned, I feel, with Headless and with Lifter LMS or with Learn Dash, the two that we really for our corporate clients. And for smaller, I think it has some relevance as well through marketing automation, using something like Lifter LMS or using Creator LMS, which are both WordPress learning management plugins that really span membership and more the corporate side as well. I think AI through marketing automation is really important for the smaller client, creators, and for the corporate larger clients, integrating, because you got this term called ERP, Enterprise Resource Planning. I don't know if you've heard this term. And yeah. It's about, I asked Kurt to look at a particular product that's in the lower end, because this, and he hadn't heard of it, and he was wondering why I asked him to look at it in the first place. Because I've had larger clients that wanted a digital transformation of their association to reduce churn, to reduce membership churn of their association or their non-profit, or, you know, or it can affect universities and schools. They don't, their subscription don't end because their students or their pupils, but their engagement disappears. And they also want, the larger organizations want an ERP solution. They want the WordPress website to integrate with finance, with HR, with other elements of their organization. And they're looking at Salesforce, or they're looking at large ones, they're looking at Word, Microsoft or Oracle solutions. That's a bit out of my scope, but this need to integrate is, I really, for with what we offer through WP Tonics Agency, is something we've got to grow in, I feel. But these walled garden, these SaaS LMSs, I'm not sure in the world of AI and the need to integrate with finance, with HR, they can offer that to the extent that maybe WordPress and other open source LMSs can. What do you reckon? That was a lot I've just thrown at you, Kurt.
It is a lot. When it comes to the walled garden thing, I'm on the fence, Jonathan, just to be real about it.
Yeah.
Because I'm thinking about, well, where is the average course creator really coming from? Where are they getting their inspiration from? Where are they seeing, you know, this inspiration to jump into the realm? And unfortunately, as much as we love WordPress and as much as we love what we do in this space, there is just not proactive marketing coming from our side of the table, right? And so a lot of people, I run into an awful lot of people in the entrepreneur space that are like, oh, I just signed up for a new school and I'm going to start my own community there. I just signed up for, I got a Kajabi site. You know, I don't know if you've heard of this or not. Have you ever heard of Go High Level? And they're new to the space, right? And they're excited, and I get it, right? So I don't mean that to say that I'm talking down to people. That's not the case. No. But they're very excited. And
there's a lot. I'm sorry to interrupt, but I think the term I use, there's imbalance. There's a lot of imbalance. Yeah. You get people that should not even think about high level. High level is an agency experience marketer tool. I've got some indifference towards it because some of the things they market. But I think you would agree it's a marketing higher level tool. And you're getting people that haven't done even the basics of digital marketing, thinking that they're just going to dive into high level, don't they?
Yeah. I had a client that we made a beautiful, beautiful website for them. And then without consulting me, they hired a marketing expert from Go High Level, and $3,500 later, well, it was $3,500 a month, so it ended up being like $10,000 later, they had not one sale come from this expert in their Go High Level integrations. I run into these people and they're just, and so when I say, hey, you know, I run an agency and I'm in the WordPress space, like we could totally do that, you know, in a hosted example where you have flexibility, design freedom, you know, we can keep your costs down. We can use Fluent CRM for that. And you're like, hey, we've got a tool that matches that. We've got a tool that matches that. And when we say that, Jonathan, they don't hear easy solution. They hear, oh, that sounds complicated. That means I have to get the hosting and the tool and I have to do, it's like, no, we'll build it for you and it'll still be cheaper than what you're spending and easier, you know, and better results. And it's such a frustrating element.
Yeah, because I think a lot of agencies, which are really the bedrock of WordPress, you know, regional, statewide agencies are the bedrock of still WordPress. They don't even. I used to work for a large regional agency. They never mentioned WordPress when they were working with clients. They only talked about solutions.
Exactly.
And they chose the tool, and the tool they chose was WordPress for the price point of the client and what the client needed.
Yeah, and that's where I'm at. It's so we say, oh, you know, is it going to be the death of the walled gardens and stuff? And I think we're going to see an inflated frustration with people that saw the marketing, signed up for these platforms, and it doesn't do what they thought it was going to do, or what they interpreted or inferred as a promise. They'll think it's a broken promise that it doesn't work.
Well, you see it in Kajabi, don't you? Which is a great product.
That's a great product.
But the idea that, depending on your experience, it's a simple product to set up is nonsense, isn't it?
it's not easy. So I have a client that's on Kajabi, and she said, if I give you the back end access to this, can you look it over for me? And, you know, this was a couple of years ago, Jonathan, and I went in, I said, oh my God, you know, how do I even know what's back here and how it looks on the front end? There's a total disconnect between the I said, how do you learn this? And I'm like, people say WordPress is hard. Are you kidding me? But then they've really come a long way in the last couple of years, and it's gotten more intuitive. Yeah. So I don't want to.
Well, it does a lot of things.
Yeah.
And a lot of things mean
lots of complications.
It just goes with the territory, doesn't it?
Yeah. But, you know, you mentioned earlier, and I think it's important to reiterate, you know, the liberation of data. You know, where does that data live?
Yeah.
When it gets super popular, let's say your dreams come true and you get 5,000 people that want to use your website and bandwidth and do community tools and talk to each other and message each other. And all of a sudden it starts to slow down and it's not really as crisp as it used to be. And that, who do you complain to? Because if they don't increase the server resources or increase the capacity of your URL within their walled garden, you're stuck. But if you're in WordPress, you can go, hey, man, this thing's growing. The site's starting to slow down. We need more PHP workers. We need more memory. And if we're using terms that are over your head right now as you're listening, that's what you have people like me and Jonathan for. We're aware of those things. And we go, hey, you know what? The $100 a month hosting thing ain't going to work for you anymore. You're going to have to pay the $300 a month for hosting to get the resources that you need to deal with this bandwidth. But if you had 3,000 to 5,000 people giving you $50 a month to be in the website, you wouldn't care if you paid $300 or $500 a month for hosting.
I think that's fantastic. I think it's been a fantastic show. So, Kurt, what's the best place for people to find out more about you and what you're up to?
ManyanaNomas.com is everything that's business related with hosting and course development and stuff like that. So ManyanaNomas.com. And if it's just personal, just want to connect, LinkedIn. LinkedIn is my connection hub.
Yeah, and if you want to find that Kirk works with WP Tonic, you want to find out more about WP Tonic and the services that we provide, go over to the WP Tonic website. We've got a very diverse, we've got creators, coaches, and large organizations all use the power of WordPress for its flexibility, data ownership, and just ownership that it provides. We will be back next week with another great podcast. We'll see you soon, folks. Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Membership Machine Show. Make sure you subscribe so you don't miss any future episodes and leave a rating to support the show. Until next time.